Somebody that is special to us. He's special to the churches around this area. He's special to the minister's school who looks up to him and the lessons that he's taught over the years and just the life that he's led. And so I love him very much. Come on up.
Well, good morning to everyone. I do appreciate the introduction that Brother Meredith gave to me. Brother Massey, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was pastor for 34 years. And his tenure was the longest of any of the pastors. And I had the privilege of serving the church for 27 years. And I'm so thankful to the good Lord for the opportunity that was given to me to serve this church. And I'm so glad and thankful for each one of you today that has come to honor our church and to help us as we celebrate the ministry of the church for 100 years. We feel so honored to have you in our presence today. Our preacher brothers that have come to be with us, we appreciate your presence today also. I could say a lot, but I will try to limit my comments at this time. I know there's been a lot of work that has gone into making this day what it is. A lot of people have volunteered their time and have come to the church and have worked and labored, and we greatly appreciate it. Thank you so very much for doing that. I would like to read a passage of Scripture that's found in the book of Ephesians. This was written to the church at Ephesus by the Apostle Paul. It was a Gentile church. And I'm so glad that Jesus made no difference between the Jews or the Gentiles. He loved all people everywhere. And the gospel, he wanted the gospel to be freely presented to all people so that everyone would have an opportunity to be saved. And so he wrote this epistle to this church at Ephesus. I'm just going to begin at verse 19 and read down through verse 22. And it reads like this: Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now that's my lesson for today. And I do want to say this. I thank the committee for asking me to speak today. They voted in the meeting, and then it was approved by the church to ask me to speak. And I know my limitations. I know that I'm not what I used to be ever since I've had COVID. Well, my throat's not, my voice is not as good as it should be. But I still like to preach. And I'm thankful for the privilege, the opportunity. And so I'm going to do the very best that I can today. I want to speak to you on the subject of the integrity of the church that Jesus built. The integrity of the church that Jesus built. I want to start out by sharing a parable with you that was presented by the Lord Jesus. It's recorded in Matthew and also in Luke. But in that parable, he said that, and I probably have to turn to it and refresh my memory. When you get as old as I am, a lot of things get away from you that you've always known. But I think it's in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, if I'm not mistaken. It talks about two men that built houses. The first man, he built his house up on the sand. And the winds blew and the floods came and blew upon the house, and the house fell. And great was the fall thereof. And the other man, he built his house upon a rock. And the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon the rock. The point being, the foundation is very important. And in the church of the living God, the foundation is most important. And so the Bible tells us, even in the Old Testament, Isaiah, about the foundation. He said, "Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation." And he said, it is a solid foundation. And let me see if I can find that just without too much trouble. But it's talking about the foundation of that the Lord was going to lay in Zion. It was a sure foundation. And of course it had reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. The same foundation that Paul referenced in this second chapter of the book of Ephesians, that it was they were built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So I want you to think about the integrity of the foundation. That's the point that I'm trying to make in the beginning. The foundation, the integrity of that foundation. And when I'm talking about the integrity, I want to emphasize this: the scriptural soundness, the good character of the church, and the moral ethics of the church, and the perseverance, and the contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Those points are vital in the soundness of a church, the integrity of a church. So in Isaiah chapter 28, that's where the lesson is that I was talking about. Chapter 28, he said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." And that word "make haste" there, those words mean shall not be anxious or be worried, about the soundness or the foundation of the institution. So he said, "I'll lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone." And he's in Matthew chapter 16. There's the integrity of the church was not only built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the rock of ages. He is the stone that the builders rejected, and he became the head of the corner. It was not only built upon him, but Jesus said in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he said to the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered, or Simon answered, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, and he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The foundation stone, the cornerstone of the church of the living God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's builded upon the knowledge of salvation. It is built upon the principle that those who become members of the church, they know the Lord. They know Him personally in the forgiveness of sin. They've had a personal experience with Him. And they know the Lord, and the Lord knows them. That's essential to the integrity of the church. The members of the church to be saved individuals and to know of the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior. Peter made a statement concerning this rock also. And it's found in 1 Peter in chapter 2. And I want to turn over there to that for our benefit and notice that passage of Scripture. In 1 Peter and in chapter 2, this is what he said. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, whom also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion for a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be condemned. And he said, unto you that believeth, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner." There's a wonderful relationship in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ between the Lord himself and each and every member. So glad today that I know Jesus. So glad today that Jesus knows me. That's what gives integrity to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, I want to notice a passage there. Acts chapter 5. And this is what it says. Peter and John had been up to the temple to worship. They encountered a man that was an invalid. He was carried to the temple, and he would sit at the beautiful gate and beg alms. And when they encountered him, he asked for alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible said that he reached forth his hand, and the man took him by his hand, and he arose, and he began to run up and down the street, rejoicing as he had never done before. Some of the people, they began to give Peter credit for what he had done. But Peter said, "I didn't do this. Jesus is the one that done this." And he said let me read a verse or two here. "Be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you today." And he said that this is the stone which the builders rejected, which has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. We're so glad to have these verses of Scripture that we can refer to and we can share with one another about what makes the church, what gives the church integrity. That is, gives it scriptural soundness. Gives a good character to the church enables us to earnestly contend for this faith that was once delivered to the saints. That is one of the things. Another thing is the integrity of the apostles' role. You remember reading in the Bible about Jesus, the great crowds that came out to him to be healed. The 9th chapter of the book of Matthew tells about the people coming, and there were so many people that he could not service every one of them. And he told the disciples, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'd send laborers into the vineyard," because of the great need that existed. And I tell you, the need is even greater today than it was then. There are more people that are lost and need to come in contact with Jesus today than there has ever been. Then the Bible tells us in the 10th chapter of Matthew that Jesus called together the 12. And I won't take time to read all of them. But he ordained them, and he sent them forth. In the book of Mark, it says he sent them forth to preach. He authorized them to go and preach, and he authorized them to preach exactly the same thing that he preached. And you know, the Word of God is truth. There's no variation in the Word of God. If we preach the Word of God, we'll be preaching the same thing Jesus preached. And if, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and body, and the soul and the spirit, the soul and spirit, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, hard-hearted people can be reached. And some people are easy to reach. They are readily receptive to the Word of God. They feel the need to get right with God, and they immediately yield themselves to the Lord, and they seek Him and find Him. Other people, they're hard-hearted, and sometimes they resist, and they just keep resisting. But even those that resist, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it can get inside the heart. And it can cause a person to see their need of God. And so these are things that enable the Church of the Living God to function and to be successful and to have integrity, and to be what God intended for it to be. Jesus ordained the apostles and sent them out to preach the gospel. We read over in Hebrews, I believe it is. I want to turn to this just for a moment. It's in the early chapters of Hebrews. It tells us that therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now listen, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. That is the apostles. He taught them. He indoctrinated them. And He sent them forth to preach the same gospel that He preached. So we should give the most earnest heed. The integrity of the apostles is very important because we would not have the Word of God in a written form today if it hadn't have been printed and preserved. That's the word I'm trying to get. If it hadn't been preserved by them that heard it, we wouldn't have it. But God saw fit for His word to be recorded so that we wouldn't have the same gospel today that the apostles had. Jesus came unto His own, the Bible said, in Jerusalem, and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. But as many of them as did receive it, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And that the power of that same gospel that convicted them and brought them to salvation is available for us today. We have the very same words that they had. It certainly is credible. It's deserving to be believed. And it's essential to be believed. These are just some of the things. Another thing that I wanted to reference was the integrity of the written word. You know, God's word is truth. There are no contradictions in the word of God. It is all in harmony. And sometimes we find passages of Scripture and we think, disagrees with this verse of Scripture over here. But when we learn the true meaning of the Word of God, it all harmonizes. And it's the unadulterated Word of God, and it works. Now, the Bible says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You see, God provided for us exactly what we need, didn't he? So the church certainly has integrity, and the church of the living God has power. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It was a promise of God. After he had risen from the grave, he said to his disciples, "Now you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And so they went to the upper room and they continued praying. In one accord, there in that upper room. And while they were praying, suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled the room where they were sitting. And the power of God came on that day in a great way. And I'm glad that same power of God resides in the church of the living God today. He has never withdrawn His Spirit from us. Glad that He has promised that He would be with us and He would help us in our efforts. Now the church, the written word, even the Old Testament, you know, was spoken by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks the truth, and the prophets prophesied, and their prophecies came to pass. And that's the way they knew that it was from God. If their prophecy didn't come to pass, then he was faking it, you know. But listen, God's word is truth, and it will stand when the world's on fire. We don't have to worry about that. And then the last thing I want to mention is the integrity of the church body. You know, it's important for us as a church to maintain congregational worship. It's important for us to meet together and worship God together. It's important for us to be of one mind and one accord. It is important for us to pray and to seek the will of God and then to assemble and support the Word of God as it goes forth, because that gives... it gives weight to the Word of God. When the people support the Word of God and affirm the Word of God, it gives support and more influence to the preacher that's preaching the Word of God. It makes it more real in the hearts and lives of people. So we need to assemble ourselves together. Never quit. Never quit. There's no excuse for giving up and quitting. You know, a lot of people have. And a lot of people have suffered great loss because of it, you know. Maybe their children that could have been saved had they kept them in the house of God may go out into the world and get involved in all kinds of things that are displeasing to God. But, you know, we need to make our church a place where people love to come. We need to promote the church. Promote the church. Hold it up. Talk about it. Talk about the things that the church has accomplished and the things it has been authorized to do. So then we need to make our church friendly. A friendly church is really important. Sometimes we just, isolate ourselves. But that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. We need to support the services when the church is having church. It's important that you support the church. That gives the church more integrity, you know. People pass by and they say, boy, they must have something going on there, you know. Look at how many people are there. Now, I know that's icing on the cake. I know that. But the gospel that comes out of the pulpit and the prayers that come out of the pews and fellowship that we have with one another, oh, that gives a lot of weight to the Word of God and makes it more effective in the lives of people. And so we need these things. Our church needs integrity, you know, needs to be held up. This church, when I first started preaching, Brother Emmett Strode came to my house, helped me in a revival at Bethel Church in Indianapolis, and we were sitting talking. He said, have you ever heard of Fifth Street Baptist Church in Bowling Green? And I said, no, I haven't. And he said, I tell you, I went down there the other night to a revival, and he said, that place was alive with the Spirit of God, you know. From that, you know, those early days, the church has grown, the church has prospered, the church has done well. But there's so many today that still need to hear the gospel. There's no place for us to give up and quit, you know. We need to make this place a place where people know that we exist and that we serve God, and it's a place where you can hear the truth. And so I'm going to bring my message to a close. I apologize for my memory lapses and any other faults you may have seen while I'm standing up here. But I'm just glad and thankful that I can be a part of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. We've been having some brethren come to preach for us that are interested in becoming pastor of the church. And I wish I could offer myself as a candidate to be pastor. I can't. I'm physically and mentally unfit to do it. And I can't do it. But I'm thankful that I had the opportunity when I did to serve the Lord and to serve the church. And I still want to help out when I can and do a little bit for the Lord. He's done so much for me. And I understand that the day the church was organized, they sung a good old song called How Firm a Foundation, and I think Brother Strode's going to lead that now. So if you'll come, Brother Strode, if you all will stand and really sing, just open up and let her fly. And because there's more joy in it that way.
Number three in the Heavenly Highway Hymn. Let's do all four verses.
Lunchtime? Lord, do you have any? Okay. I'm going to assume that's the case then. That'd be good. And you know, we love services. We love to come together and love up on one another. But another thing we love to do is eat. And today the meal is going to be, again, prepared. It's prepared by, the meat is by Brother Livingston. And so just a couple things before we go down. As you go down the stairs here to the basement, as you're in line for food, notice up on the wall on your right-hand side as you're going toward the table to eat, there are some banners up that display a timeline of our church. Thanks to Sister Stephanie for working with the sign company to get that printed. And of course, all the committee members that went in together for the pictures and for again, the timeline. So we're thankful for that. Draw your attention to that. Downstairs also, just beyond the food, there's an older Sunday school room set up with some memorabilia, some pictures, et cetera, that go and speak to the history of the church. So I encourage you to go by and visit that room at some point during the lunch meal. One more thing, upstairs, again, I mentioned the addition of the classroom and the library upstairs. If you so choose, make your way up to the second floor. That's where our audio-visual room is, as well as the classroom and the church library. So there are a lot of interesting books and helpful and useful books up there. So take time to peruse that if you want during that time. Before we have the meal, I think it's appropriate that we ask someone to bless it. Right now, I've got 11:24. I want to give time for everyone to eat and have some fellowship. And so, what about we come back upstairs to continue the service, and we'll begin with the song after the meal at 12:45. That'll give us a little over an hour and 15 minutes to eat and to fellowship. So at this time, I'd like to ask Brother Collins, if you would, to bless our food.
Brother Meredith,
yes.
We'll pray just to let those that need assistance. We have this elevator, and I'll pray to try to get you downstairs.
Right. Thank you, Brother Buddy. Appreciate that. Brother Collins?